Welcome to another edition of Waiting for Next Year's Cavs Cast. We're part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. This is your host, Seth, and joining tonight from the Browns cast, not Dave, it's Joe Gilbert. It's not Dave, Joe Gilbert. Joe, how are you, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. It's unlike the Cleveland Browns, Joe, you are someone who plays in the clutch because I texted Joe like 25 minutes ago, asked if he wanted to jump on here. So true heroic effort, fourth quarter crunch time heroic from Mr. Joe Gilbert. So thank you for joining.
Yeah, happy to be here. Talking Cavs, man.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks. So I'm sure those who are listening right now listen to Joe a couple of times a week over on the Brown side on Browns cast. But it's been maybe in a few months since I know you and I have talked Cavs really on here. We do all the time in the Discord. But maybe, Joe, before we kind of jump in, I'll put you on the spot. You know, just your thoughts on the season so far. You know, 15-9, third place in the East, 10-1 at home, 5-8 on the road. You know, your initial thoughts, been a bit of a roller coaster, but your initial thoughts on the season?
Yeah, overall, it's going better than I expected. Especially the kind of the Mitchell, getting Mitchell in, it's pretty seamless how he just come in and kind of has been the best player on the team. The injuries suck, and it's the small forward position seems like it's getting to be a bigger issue than we thought we were going to have. But I think the injuries might have kind of amplified it a little bit. So, but overall, I think I don't know how much you can be against this kind of good start here. They've dealt with a lot of injuries and a lot of key injuries, and they're 15-9. So I can't take much against that.
Yeah, you're right. Even when we're kind of on the downside of the roller coaster, it's still, you take a look up and you're third place in the East. The only two teams ahead of you are, you know, absolute final contenders with the Milwaukee Bucks and with the Boston Celtics. I mean, two teams that are really playing historic basketball right now. So yeah, I totally agree that, you know, first in defensive rating, 10th in offensive rating. And I think you hit exactly on it, that starting small forward role and just some injuries to key guys, man, that's been their Achilles heel. But all that being said, third place in the East, second place in the Central, not a bad place to start.
Yeah, it's kind of cool looking up and like before the season I thought we were like kind of the fourth or fifth or sixth teams. Really, there's only two teams that I like think are probably better than them, Boston and Milwaukee. And I wouldn't have said that before the season. Like it's pretty cool that they're top three in my opinion. I don't know if there's much of an argument for anybody else kind of being better than them. Philly sometimes depends on who plays and how they play. So, but yeah, it's fun kind of being up in the top of echelon again, after some down years, the past few years.
Yeah, that was actually kind of one of the topics I had to talk about with Dave tonight. I mean, if you look at the East and you think about tiers, you know, Boston and Milwaukee are certainly that top tier. They're heavily favored, one of those two teams that come out. But, you know, either the Cavaliers are, as of right now, sliding into the low part of that tier, or they're leading off the next tier by a formidable amount, right? I mean, maybe you consider the Hawks or the Raptors, or if the Nets get healthy, who knows? But there's no doubt Cavs are first up in that next group. If not, you know, let's see what they do with a fully healthy roster, if they can sneak into the bottom of that first rung.
Yeah, I think Milwaukee and Boston are probably 1A in like a 1A group, and then I would say like Cleveland and probably Philadelphia is probably 1B, and then I would have like the two tiers. I think just based on the talent and just how they're playing, I think there's not a lot of competition better than Cleveland right now, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah. Absolutely. And with that, maybe we'll, speaking of fun to watch, we'll kind of skip last night's game, because last night's game was not fun to watch. Cavaliers
lost. It kind of matched the Browns game, but they lost. It was like like they couldn't make a basket to save their lives, but they played pretty hard and they played great defense, but they just, and the traveling was just Beyond, like, that was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen. Like, 13 travel calls, like, that is just, it just killed any flow to that game. And I think that's probably, it probably killed the shooting too. Like, it's hard to kind of get in the flow when you're just stopping 13 freaking times to both sides too. Like, yeah. Knicks didn't shoot well either. And yeah, it was just like, that game is kind of one of those, just throw it away and don't think about it ever again.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell was audibly laughing on the last time he was called for a travel. Right. Donovan and Garland combined for 13 of 41 from the field, 5 of 20 from three. I mean, 13 of 41. It's the one takeaway I did have from last night's game. It was just, you know, it was abysmal. Wasn't a lot of rebounding, no shots in the paint. No. But that was one thing I saw after the fact. Mobley got 9 shot attempts. And then, you know, of course you want Mitchell and Garland to get their shot attempts in. But when they've got 41 and Mobley, who's, I think at this point, no doubt your third scorer, especially with Allen on the bench, you probably want Mobley to have more than 9, right, since he's the guy getting shots within the paint. But man, it was brutal. To your point, those travels were just ridiculous. I don't know. There has to be some kind of like midseason course correction, because it seems like every single game, if you turn on TNT it's happening in everywhere, so there's got to be some kind of course correction, right?
I feel like that happens almost every year. There's always one kind of thing. Remember when they used the change the ball for like midway through, and then they just like course corrected. Okay, we're done. This ball sucks. Like, yeah, I think it's just one of those things that it'll kind of get tampered down as they kind of figure out, wow, this is not helping the game. Like, I understand what they were trying to go for, but like, it's now just killing flows of games, and it's not fun to watch. Like, getting turnovers like that is just not fun to watch. And yeah, it's gonna be in terms of just the game. I did think it was kind of, they played through it like a stretch. I thought when they played really well, they played through Evan. And they just seemed to like not go through that, and they took a lot of jumpers, which is not great, especially when you're not shooting well. I thought they could drive a little bit better. I think maybe Mitchell Robinson kind of thwarted them, and that is a good defensive team, I think, overall, at least in terms of what they're known for. They kind of rough you up there, but it was. Just the whole overall offense was kind of just not working. And it kind of shows you the problem with the small forward spot. Mm-hmm. Because when your two top guards don't have it going, there was pretty much Chetty tried to. Like, he was solid, but, like, beyond that, there was not a really kind of wing or guard that could score consistently for that team.
Yeah, if we looked at kind of who took some of those minutes last night, Osman, you know, I'd say really led the reserves with 30 minutes. Caris LeVert, who, you know, I think JB and the team kind of admittedly said, hey, this is our sixth man now. We kind of just think this is his best role. Yeah. LeVert got 16 minutes last night. I mean, that doesn't sound very sixth man-y to me, right? I mean,
that's concerning. That's probably the most concerning part of that, of last night. Like, 16 minutes. You would think, okay, that let's put him in, because he can at least contribute, like produce off the dribble, create for himself. But like 16 minutes, that just shows, like, I don't know if it's working. I don't know if it, like, we saw it briefly when that 40 points in a couple games before that, but like since then he's just not fit in, and I don't know how much longer they can go with it.
Yeah, even, you know, it feels to me that, you know, all throughout training camp, he did all the right things. They knew they were going to need from him, you know, some 3-point shooting, maybe some creation. And, you know, he was never going to be this 3-and-D guy. But even the notion of him being like a good secondary ball handler, because the way the Cavs run their lineups, there's always either one of Garland or Mitchell in the game if they're both healthy. So you're like, okay, have him, you know, one of those guys on one side, have Caris on the other. And if they need some help. Like, the idea of that sounds so promising, but to your point, it's just not clicking. Nothing's falling for him when he gets in. Yeah. It's like that mid-range area. Nothing's going in. Nothing he puts off is soft. Like, anytime he's in the paint, it's just, it's just, you know, clinking off the back. Right. Nothing looks smooth or soft. It's been tough.
Yeah. Half the time it looks like he doesn't have a plan too. Like when he drives, like he's like, should I pass? Should I shoot? Like it just doesn't, I don't know. And it seems like when he gets the ball, it just kind of, the offense just kind of it comes stale and doesn't, you don't see that movement as much, which is kind of weird. Just, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, the 16 minutes is, it'll be interesting to see kind of going forward if that changes things. Like, are we seeing a big change here, or is it just a one game kind of he struggled and they were just trying to throw anything out on the floor?
Yeah, because he was obviously out with an injury. He was struggling mightily before then.
Yeah.
He came back and had a really great game against the 76ers. He scored 22 points, right. 8 of 11. But then the past two games, again, you know, uh-huh. you get 5 points from him in the Magic game, 2 of 7 from the field. And then the Knicks game, obviously last night, he was tough. And yeah, it's just you deal with some inconsistencies with that kind of player, but when it's once every like 6 or 7 nights, I mean, that's just not enough. Just is
no, especially for your sixth man, like you got to have more than that. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they kind of handle it going forward.
Yep. Yeah, his 16 minutes last night was only outdone by Okoro, who only got 13 minutes. So, you know, that's a whole other avenue. But it's just you need something from those. If one of those guys gives you a good game, right. One of those two, you're happy. 0 for 2, way too many times this season, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, and I think we're kind of at the point what we know what Okoro is. I think.
Yeah.
Sadly, I think he's just going to be that kind of 13 minute. 13 to 15 minute guy kind of come in for defense and hopefully get some energy and then maybe down the stretch be some matchup defensive. But yeah, I was hoping, I know he's still young, but like we're in his third year and it's like the shooting is just, it's just not consistent. It just hasn't. And he hasn't, it seems like he makes it, like he has a good game and then he just has like these desert games where like for a good week or two that he can't make a basket to save his life. So that's another guy kind of have questions about.
Yeah. In this, you know, I think this is probably a good transition for us to go to, you know, that small forward role or even take position out of it a little bit, just to, you know, backup two or backup three, they're just begging for some kind of stability. Understood role players are going to give you the highs and lows, but you know, they're begging for some kind of just familiarity and stableness back there that they're not getting night to night. Maybe Ricky Rubio, you know, comes back and helps that. But I mean, frankly, we haven't heard, you know, we've heard he's progressing towards 3-3 play, but there's no timetable on Ricky. And it's, you know, you look down and it's December already. There's, you know, you need to hear some good news from him sooner rather than later, cause it's going to take some time to come up. But with all that, and you know, with the starting small forward role and backup, I thought it'd be kind of fun tonight if, you know, I know you and I have talked about this in Discord a little bit, but talked about maybe a player who, you know, the Cavs should be looking into. The trade deadline is February 9th. So there's still time, but you know, there's about 8 weeks until the trade deadline surpasses. So I was hoping, Joe, maybe you could touch on somebody that you think the Cavs should be interested in, someone that would make sense for this roster, for this team, you know, with the current players they have on the roster.
Yeah, well, my initial kind of guy was Harrison Barnes before the season, but like the Kings are good. At least for now, and I don't know if they want to kind of blow it up there. So just looking at like kind of the, you just kind of got to look at the lower level teams. So your Orlando Pistons, kind of Charlotte, the Spurs, which is the team I kind of want to kind of reference here, is there's a couple kind of interesting guys on the Spurs. Like Keldon Johnson would be just a huge get, but I don't know how much that would cost. There's a few around the league. I think you're going to bring up probably Bogdanovich at the Pistons. I would assume he would be an ideal fit. I know we have to wait a little bit for him because he just signed an extension, but they just need some, like, they don't need, it doesn't, like, it doesn't have to be a at all, like, it doesn't have to be a very, like, a super productive, a productive guy, like, just a guy that can make shots when he's open. Like, that's, it's not right. a hard, it's not a hard thing. Like, and then don't be like a sieve on defense. Like, I wouldn't even have to look for like a true 3-and-D guy. I would just mostly look for a guy who can shoot, like, just to spread it out, because I feel like everybody on this team is kind of doesn't, it can, any, every three at least on this team kind of constricts the offense, because we got what LeVert who can't really, he's okay with shooting threes, but hasn't shot threes well this year. Yeah. You got Okoro who can't make a three to save his life. You got Lamar who he's been better, but like still not a guy that you want to kind of rely on to make shots. So
yeah, not at volume for sure.
Right. Yeah. That'll be some of the, like that's what I would be targeting, just shooting.
Yeah, you hit it. I think the Spurs are the team that I look at, and neither of these guys probably wow you, but you know, if you look at a guy like Josh Richardson, he's got 1 year left right. on his deal. He's worth like 13 mil. I think he's a career 36 or 37% 3-point shot. He can play a little bit of defense. You know, he's not like super athletic. He's 29. You know, he's someone that's going to move, and yeah, someone who could be available. I'm assuming the Spurs would be taking pennies on the dollar for a couple of their players this year as they're in the Wembanyama sweepstakes. The other guy who's there's 2 years left on his deal. So this year and next year is Doug McDermott. So a guy who is probably going to hurt you defensively, but so too, he's only 30 years old. He's a 40% guy from three. He makes 14
about him.
Yeah.
And he was the guy that they try to get too.
Yeah.
Yep. 2 years ago.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with Kevin Love getting older, I mean, certainly Kevin Love is a way better playmaker and rebounder, all that stuff. But in terms of an actual shot maker, you know, I think if you look around right now, and if the Cavs lose Kevin Love, you look around and you say, where's the 3-point shooting coming from outside of Donnie and Darius, man? They just don't really have anyone. So just someone who can come in exactly what you said, make some threes. I think, you know, McDermott, a guy who's going to be here, you know, this year, next year, would make a heck of a lot of sense. Makes less than LeVert, so that, you know, if the Spurs wanted to save some money and not have anything on the books for next year, you know, maybe that's something that they would entertain. But
yeah, Eric Gordon is another guy.
We've been talking about him for a couple years now.
I know. I feel like this was finally the year you would think they would trade him. Like, I don't know what he's doing on that team. Like, he got a bunch of kids on that team, and then you got Eric Gordon. Like, he just seems like a waste. But he would be just kind of a perfect guy. He's a really good shooter, veteran guy, knows how to fit in as a role player. So I think he would be a really good. And I don't think it would cost that much. I know they would want maybe they would want an Okoro or something like that. Like, I'm open to trading Okoro and LeVert right now. So either of them, Okoro kind of fits in their timeline too. So maybe he would be kind of a fit for them.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, you know, if you watch Rockets games, I've seen some interesting moments with Eric around. He's like, get me off this team. He's got like young guys fighting in the, you know, like, I forget, there's a couple of the young guys going at it, and he's just looking around. He's got to be like, get me the hell off this team. I remember when I was in the playoffs every year, and now I'm surrounded by a bunch of 20-year-olds. So,
right.
Yeah. He's got to be begging for it.
Yeah. It seems like, it looks like the teams that, like, Orlando is another team, I think. What, Terrence Ross, and then they have Gary Harris too, right? I think I think he's still on their team. He might be hurt still, but they're a lot of the kind of lower level teams, Orlando, Houston, Spurs, have a lot of good matchups. So, and hopefully they can, I know we don't have that much draft capital. I don't even know what we could trade, like second rounders, I guess that would be about it. But Okoro is a nice young piece that maybe one of them will take a chance on. If I was still like a rebuilding team, I would do it. I would take a chance. Getting Eric Gordon for Okoro, I would do that as a young, like, what's Eric Gordon going to do for your future? He's not in your future, but, right. But maybe Okoro can. And the Cavs are just not in that position that they can wait anymore on Okoro. Now, if they were struggling like Houston has in the rebuild, I would be in that position still to keep them. But, like, time's running out. Time is running out.
Yeah, to your point about what do they have to trade, I just because I went and looked it up earlier today, they owe their 2025, 2027, 2029 picks to Utah. 26 and 28 are pick swaps. So I don't know how that goes. It gets a little bit more complex if you try to trade those at that point. And then 24, in this year's draft pick, first rounder goes to the Pacers if the Cavs make the playoffs. So you're right. I mean, they're really down to second round picks. And then I think what I wrote in the Discord the other day, if you think of what the Cavs have in terms of assets, you know, a young player like Isaac Okoro, how much is he worth? Caris LeVert, an expiring deal. Kevin Love, an expiring deal, but I'd be pretty stunned. You know, if they moved on from him, I'd be pretty shocked.
That'll be like subtraction. That would be a huge subtraction, and they can't lose that shooting, as you said.
No, they cannot. So yeah, that's, you know, they're kind of strapped in terms of first round picks. But one of the things I truly believe in is, you know, if you're in this realm that the Cavs are in, take this swing, because you never know what's going to happen with, you know, if the wrong player turns an ankle. We don't want to see that, but what if Giannis turns an ankle in the playoffs or Jason Tatum goes out? It's like when you're in this elk, you know, top 10, especially now. I mean, the NBA is it's more wide open than it has been in the past. There's not that old Warriors team that's going to run through you. I think if you're this close, you know, give it a shot. I understand the Donovan Mitchell trade was for the next 2, 3, 4 years, but when you are at this point, I think you owe it to yourself to give it a shot. There's no guarantee that every team's going to be full strength going into the playoffs. So I don't think that should let them deter them from making a move that's going to make them better this year.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm looking through the bottom feeders kind of rosters, and there's a lot of good, like, you just look at Washington, they have a couple guys, that could be possible targets. Kyle Kuzma, Will Barton. Just look at Charlotte. They got Hayward and Oubre. So I feel like it wouldn't be. I don't think you have to mortgage that much to kind of get this role player that kind of fits in more perfectly than like a Core or a Lamar Stevens. I feel like Lamar is going to be a really good role player on the bench. I just don't – putting him in as a starter is kind of – it's tough. And I think one of the things we're not talking about, we can probably kind of transition here, is the loss of Dean Wade has kind of really made this kind of even more worse than it is. Yeah. If he was on the roster, I think it'll be a lot better fits, but – Without Dean Wade, it's just there's not much. I was listening to the Chase Down Pod yesterday, and they kind of nailed it with how it's just Dean Wade is like consistent. Like, you know what you're gonna get. He's pretty consistent shooter. He could be cold at sometimes, but you kind of know what he's getting. Like in terms of Lamar and just Okoro and LeVert, those guys are just up and down, you don't know what to get. So that's pretty much what they need, just consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. Just a little less volatility night to night. Right. And And even, you know, I say that, and Osman is a guy that you love to watch, but right. even Osman hasn't been so roller coasty. I mean, he's been on defense. I'll take his offense out of it, at least on defense. I mean, I feel like he's been running up and down. He's been busting his ass this year. I've been pretty happy with his effort on that side, I'll say.
Yeah, like JB hasn't had to be forced to like play him off. Like there's a lot of times last year where he just wasn't able to play him because he just didn't play defense. It's sort of like Kevin Love at sometimes.
Yeah. And you hit on the Dean Wade. I thought we could give a really quick kind of injury update. So Dean Wade, it was just announced, you know, he had an AC joint sprain. He's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks, which just kind of hits that small forward, you know, backup wing, whatever you want to call it, role even harder over the next few weeks. We did get some good news in that Jared Allen was upgraded to questionable, I think just a few hours ago. So what a game to get Jared Allen back, right? Against Anthony Davis.
Hey, welcome back. You have the guard AD who's on a freaking hot streak.
is it 2018 again? I mean, where is AD coming from?
Yeah, I was just looking through his numbers. My God, he's just on a roll right now. And he is carrying that team with LeBron.
Yeah, you put him up against Giannis. I mean, he's got better numbers than Giannis right now. He's as good, if not better, than, you know, Joker and Embiid. I mean, he's playing at like an all NBA level, and it kind of came out of nowhere. It's the last couple of years, you haven't been able to trust he's been on the court, but man, he's by. I'm kind of happy for him, honestly, because he's had such a tough stretch the past couple of years. I'm happy to see him, you know, string some good games together, I should say.
Yeah, I'm happy for LeBron too. Yeah, he looked miserable. Just like, it just seemed like AD was, obviously his injuries were killing him, but like he didn't seem like just kind of mentally he wasn't like the same player. But the last few weeks he's been the AD of the past, and that's gonna be a scary matchup if they don't have JA. That's Evan Mobley is gonna have to use all six of his fouls.
That's right. Who are we gonna have back? Diakite. I mean, that's right. they need Allen back very quickly. And you know, the last kind of key.
And we saw Robin Lopez try to guard him in the first matchup, and that just didn't go well. That's one of the things. Just before we go to the other one, backup center might be a target too, because Robin Lopez, I didn't realize how bad he is defensively. He can't move, and guarding the pick and roll is just a big problem, and that's why he hasn't been able to kind of stick on the floor through all these injuries. He hasn't really. You would think with JA out, he would be playing consistently. And how many games has he not played in the last couple? And if so, he's played like 5 minutes or something. So I think that might be another kind of add on to any trade they'd kind of do, try to get someone just an athletic big guy. Like Hartenstein would have been just great. Just watching him yesterday, like someone who can just guard the pick and roll and not be a absolute detrimental guy on the floor.
Man, you look at what Hartenstein was doing to Kevin Love yesterday, and what he was doing to some of our backup bigs. It was like downright disrespectful. And to see what he did was impressive. And obviously, I think that's a very underrated point, is, you know, if Allen goes out, that, you know, everything kind of goes out of whack. Mobley goes to the five. It creates a hole at the four, and then they're searching. Allen's such an important part, and you're right. I mean, Robin Lopez in a playoff series, you probably don't want to see him in there unless you need like a couple fouls on Embiid or something, right?
Yeah, and Diakite, or I guess I can't get his name pronounced correctly, but he's really a power forward. He's not a center. He's a spread out kind of four, and he's pretty solid on defense, but he just doesn't have the girth and the size to kind of guard these big centers. So kind of, they just need somebody else. It's been a problem the past couple of years, and I really liked the Robin Lopez kind of signing this offseason, but like, man, it just seems that he has just gone really old. He's just become super old and just can't defend anymore.
Yeah, if his if the guy that goes out and screens, I mean, if the guard is just up against him to the hoop, they just see like a big cash sign. They, you know, they just drive right past them. It's pretty tough. And he, like, I think you said in the Discord, I mean, he drops anyway, but if he doesn't drop deep enough, you know, that guard's going straight to the hoop and it's just tough. We did get, you know, one other piece of good injury news. Well, I shouldn't even call it news, but you know, it was reported by Chris Fedor that Ricky Rubio advanced to 3-on-3 and he had an update with the Cavs doctors, quote unquote, soon, but it did sound like he was progressing. I guess that's good news, Joe. I mean, we don't have any, you know, specific timetable, but the fact that he's gone from, you know, we've seen him do like 1-on-1 drills before and after games. Now that he's up to 3-on-3, you'd think things are progressing, right?
Yeah. You would think it's always a good sign when they're in kind of the contact mode of like those 3-on-3 situations. Yeah. I see him. I've gone to three games so far this year, and every time I come early, he's out on the floor shooting, and so it seems like he's getting closer. I think the off season timeline was always that kind of end of December, early January, and we're kind of in that mode, and it would fit that he's now going to 3-on-3 here in the next couple weeks. So hopefully that gets amped up. There's no issues with like swelling or anything like that, or kind of pain or anything. And we can move on. He doesn't even have to be like 2021 Ricky Rubio. It just has to be kind of solid Ricky Rubio, be a veteran off the bench and kind of help along that, the bench that's kind of struggled scoring wise consistently.
Yeah. Be a stabilizer for some of those guys that are giving us way too much volatility right now. Yeah. Yep. Totally agree with you. Well, I know I wanted to pose one question to you before we do. A quick word from our sponsor. We've got a great deal with Underdog Fantasy for first time depositors. Enter in the code WFNY at checkout and Underdog will match your deposit up to $100. Underdog is a great platform if you're tired of the DFS salary system. There's tons of game types and drafts every single night. Don't forget to use WFNY at checkout to get your first-time deposit matched up to $100. The Cavs are on a homestand, and their next three games are at home, so they host the Los Angeles Lakers Tuesday. National game. There we go. All of a sudden, red-hot Kings on Friday. And then Thunder on Saturday. So that's their next three games for the week. Mm-hmm. Joe, if you have to predict their record over the next three games, host Lakers, Kings, and Thunder, what is the Cavs' record going to be, say, sitting on Sunday after those three games?
I would say 2-1. Obviously, I think that depends on JA. Mm-hmm. I think they can go 3-0 if they get Allen back. Because he's just that important to this team, but I think they'll beat the Thunder is on what Friday? I think it is, or are they on Sunday?
Kings Friday, Thunder Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. So and then the Kings are kind of the I feel like it could go either way for the Kings and the Lakers games, depending on if Jay is there. I think they could beat the Kings either way. So I think 2-1. I don't know about tomorrow. We'll see who's in the lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what makes it tough. I'm in agreement with you. I think 2-1. Cavs are 10-1 at home. They're red hot at home.
True, that's a good point.
Love the way they play, but to your point, it's tough because I think if you're cautious Cavaliers, then you say, hey, we can sit JA all the way till Friday, you know, if we give him off tomorrow. But, you know, it'd be great to give him some run and have the ability to have him for, you know, potentially for the back-to-back Friday, Saturday. So, yeah, I'm going to go 2-1. And there's just – we all know LeBron loves to beat the Cavs at home. Lakers are scourging. You know, we'll see what happens tomorrow. I feel good about Kings and Thunder, but I am a little nervous about tomorrow's game against the Lakers.
Yeah, national TV – Return to Cleveland. He just said she's like a bad combo, especially if, and then you have hot AD. So yeah. I don't know, man. It'll be interesting to see if they put JA out there. I think he was just out because I don't think they wanted him to travel to New York. So he might have been closer than we think. But it'll be interesting to see if he's actually out there.
Definitely, man. Well, yeah, like you said, big national game. Excited to see it. Last Nuggets, anything else you wanted to get out in any of your thoughts, conclusion, anything like that before we wrap, Joe?
No, it's just it's going to be interesting. I thought kind of heading into the season, they wouldn't make any kind of trades this year because after the Donovan Mitchell one. Mm-hmm. But I think it's kind of how the season has progressed, how the Eastern Conference has kind of turned out. I think Kobe Altman is going to be kind of have to be active again. And it's going to be interesting to see what he can do with very, very little. Like, we're going back to like post LeBron level trade assets here. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can do out of very little. But it's kind of hard to doubt the guy. Like, he's produced consistently. Kobe Altman has done consistent, great work. I can think two things he's kind of missed on is kind of Okoro a little bit and then LeVert trade. That's like basically it. And in how many years he's been here, that's pretty impressive. So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of go about the trade deadline here coming up. And I'm excited to see Rubio return hopefully soon.
Yep. Yeah, totally in agreement. Altman seems to get the big things right, like Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and big things to come. And I'm in a total agreement. I think that was a really good point by you, because I think, you know, after you give up all your assets for Donovan Mitchell, you think, okay, this is the team for the next 3 years. But that's right. Not the way Altman operates. I mean, he's one of the most active GMs in the league. Yeah. Wouldn't be shocked at all if there's some kind of minor move around the fringes that, you know, hopefully helps him for this year.
Yeah, he seems like he makes a trade every deadline, it seems like. We're releasing something at least small, or he's always calling. So I wouldn't have doubted him this year.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Joe, thank you for joining. Thanks again, man, for jumping on kind of last second. We appreciate everyone listening. We'll be back next week and go over and listen to Brownscast. When are you guys doing Brownscast this week? Thursday?
Thursday, probably, yeah.
Thursday. A big matchup against Cincinnati Bengals, so tune into that Thursday night.
Yeah, awesome. Should be fun.
A good deal. Well, thanks all for listening. Have a good rest of the night.
See ya.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.